praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come to thy presence, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord God was saying, I've carried you all these years upon my shoulders. Do not fear the power of the enemy and the avenger. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we come into the presence to worship thee in truth and spirit, Father. When the whole world is in chaos, Father, we are in thy presence. The river of the water of life flows from the throne of God and nourishes us and cherishes us. And thy manna, thy word, strengthens us and empowers us. And thou hast baptized us not just with the Holy Ghost, but with the Holy Ghost and fire. And we thank you, Father, hallelujah, that this wall of fire, this glory of the Lord, this Shekinah glory of the Lord, my Shopriyam Prabodhana Shaprividya Prabhuruma, is on us, Father, and on all our families, Father. As we come to the presence, we pray, Lord, that once again, as you carried us from this earth into the throne of God to behold thy face and to worship thee in truth and spirit, and to join with all the saints who have gone before, and the cherubims and the seraphims and the 24 elders, and to praise thee, Lord, we fall on our knees and we cast our crowns before thy throne and worship thee along with thy saints. O thou that art holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of thy glory. And they that come against thee to stop thy kingdom and thy purpose for which thy blood was shed, we know, Father, that they will either be saved or destroyed. But, Father, we pray that those who come against thee and against thy church will be washed by the blood of Jesus. You will have mercy on them. As you said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We pray for all the demonic powers in this country that are working through people, especially through the Democrats. Father, we pray that you would deliver the demon-possessed witchcraft favoring people. All these people that have sold their lives and their hearts and their souls to the devil, we weep for them and feel sorry for them, Father. But we know that they and the devil are in thy hand. Father, expand thy kingdom. Let thy power be manifested through thy church, New Jerusalem in USA and all over the world. Let thy glory be revealed. Let thy power be manifested, Lord, that from the rising of the sun even down to the going down thereof, thy name may be exalted and great among the Gentiles. For in Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our duty is not to worry about how hard it is or how powerful the enemy is, but to do as the Lord commands. 2 Chronicles 16 verses 7 and 8. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hands. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with many, many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. So Psalm 33 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. I don't know why we are picking on the Democrats, but those are the ones that want to shut down churches and want to destroy Christianity. And of course, there are other religions who want to do that. There was a person called Saul who wanted to destroy Christianity. God made him write much of the New Testament. So looks like all these Democrats and the people that haven't yet sold their souls to the devil, who are fighting against Christianity, many of them are going to be missionaries preaching the same Bible that they tried to burn. Because the Bible tells us that when we rely on the Lord, even our enemies will become friends. We know that ISIS wanted to destroy Christianity, but the brother of the ISIS leader who died and was killed by USA, he is a born-again Christian. And may God join all of these godly people into his church, New Jerusalem, and prepare them for his soon coming. So this Hanani the seer is coming to Asa, and he's saying, see how powerful you were, King Asa. The Ethiopians and the Lubans came against you, and they were like the sand of the seashore that cannot be numbered. What a great mighty army with chariots and horsemen that could not be counted. And then you prayed to the Lord, you knelt down, and the entire Ethiopian and Lubin army was completely wiped out. You know, we don't fear anyone, we don't fear any nation, we don't fear any army, we don't fear anything, because we are children of Almighty God. We have to respect the government, we have to respect them as long as their laws are in line with the law of Almighty God. The moment anyone deviates from the word of God or the law of God, we don't have to respect anyone. King Nebuchadnezzar said, if this is my law, if you don't bow down before the statue, I will throw you into the burning flame. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, fine, do it. If God delivers us, great. If not, we will not worship thee, nor will we worship thy golden image that thou hast set up. We read about Abraham, a man of God, a man of faith. His brother-in-law or nephew went based on the lust of his eyes to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the kings of the world that ruled the entire world came and captured Lot and took him away. Abraham had only about 300 people in his army. And he went, Melchizedek met him, blessed him from the throne of Almighty God. He wiped out the entire armies of the world with 300 people. Gideon had just a handful of people. God said, oh no, these 10,000 people are too much for me. You know, sometimes God's children think, you know, in order to overcome the enemy, we need more people in the church, more pastors, more preachers, more power, more money. Nothing. We don't need a single thing. God's math is opposite to man's math. He said, Gideon, these 10,000 people are too many for me. Take them to the river. And he said, well, just get the people, these 300 people, and send the rest of them home. Through them, I will deliver the host of Midian into your hands. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. As the Democrats and the New World Order and all kinds of people try to destroy Christianity, and God is sitting there on his throne, as in Psalm 2, laughing at them. When God laughs at people, it's a very serious matter. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. No one is going to be able to wipe out Christianity. We are going to wipe out the kingdom of darkness and the hell and the enemy. Why? Because we have to rescue people from the fire, from the gates of hell, and prepare them so they will be saved and washed by the blood and prepared for the coming of Christ. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, God's glory is above his people. So in 2 Chronicles 16, 7 and 8, the prophet is telling the king, King, you were so mighty, you were so powerful when you relied on God. Why are you relying on Syria? Why are you relying on ungodly people? Why are you relying on idol worshippers? You rely on God and he will deliver all your enemies into your hand. In the New Testament, we don't war, but delivering enemies into our hands means that people that come against us get saved, washed by the blood, come into the church, are baptized, and start speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. So the people that wanted our heads are now in the church of the living God, worshiping God. That's how the ministry of the New Testament is. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So what God is saying here is, he just needs a handful of people. God would prefer having less people than more people to fulfill his commandment, to fulfill his plan. God's eyes are running all through the world to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Now we read the word perfect and say, you know, God is willing to show himself strong on behalf of those who are perfect. Well, I'm not perfect. I haven't become like Jesus. So does it mean that God is not going to show his power or uses in his kingdom? The word perfect that God is talking about here has to be taken in the context of the prophecy that Hanani is giving, the prophet is giving to King Asa. What God is saying it to Asa is, if you relied on the Lord and just did what the Lord said, you'll be the mightiest man that ever lived on planet Earth. Might, power, victory in our career, in our spiritual life, and in everything we do comes from doing what the Lord says. Goliath mocked David, cursed his God, and David, the servant of God, slew the giant with a little stone. Goliath came according to his own will and lust and pride, but he was slain by a little stone in humility that came from the hand of a little boy, because the little boy did what God told him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, go get a bunch of stones from the creek. That's all you need. Throw all that armor and I will guide it. The Holy Spirit took it right into his forehead, and there the giant fell dead. So Goliath might have been, according to the Bible's description, maybe 10 feet tall, but there was another giant that was 28 feet tall. I said, wait a minute, that's not possible. And I did research and archaeology, and it was true. King Agag, that Joshua slew, was about 28 feet tall. And the spies that went to spies out the land of Canaan weren't kidding. They actually saw them so tall that the cloud went over their head. King Agag was 28 feet tall. And I've seen the bones of those giants through archaeology. And Joshua and his people killed them because God said, it's not your business to be looking at them and worrying about them and considering how strong and mighty they are. Your duty is to go when I say go. Your duty is to fight when I say fight. Your duty is to wipe them out when I say wipe them out. Because it is not you, it is not your battle, but the Lord's. That's what God told the children of Israel when Pharaoh went after them. Why does the Lord keep telling us these things that we already know about? Because that is the reason. Because when the battle comes, there's a tendency to forget these things in the heat of the battle. And God wants us to understand that the battle is not his, but the Lord's. Yeah, the Democrats are saying, we'll take the White House, we'll wipe out Christianity. Keep dreaming that has never happened in the history of mankind or womankind. Who do you think you are to raise your hand and fist against Almighty God? That hand and fist that you raise against Almighty God will wither away and burn away. Therefore, fall at the feet of Almighty God and ask for His forgiveness. I don't care who you are. You might be the head of Congress. You might be whatever you are. God is no respecter of persons. If you don't humble yourself before God Almighty, your flesh will rot and your eyes will consume, and you will be buried with a miserable death. Ahab and Jezebel came against the prophet, came against the people of God. God told Ahab and Jezebel that dogs will lick your blood in the road, and it happened exactly. But God is merciful, full of grace in the New Testament. God's riches at Christ's expense. God does not want anyone to perish. The most wicked person in this world, He didn't even want Hitler to go to hell. And so He waited that Hitler would repent. And He didn't, and He met His end. So God is not against the Democrats. He hates their sin, but He loves them. God is not against the Republicans. He hates their sin and He loves them. No one has any favoritism towards God because he belongs to either party. Everyone is weighed in the balances and they have to do according to the will of Almighty God. Belteshazzar thought, oh, he's great because his father Nebuchadnezzar was used by God. But God weighed him in the balance and said, you're not like your father Nebuchadnezzar, who respected my word, who respected the vessels in the temple of God. And the finger came and wrote on the wall, many, many tekel ufersin, that were weighed in the balances and found wanting. We are not terrified about the revived Roman Empire. We are not terrified about Christianity trying to get wiped out. We're not frightened about the Chinese or the communists or immunists or anyone, because we are children of Almighty God. We will pray and pray with tears that those who come against Almighty God, peradventure, God will have mercy on them and save them. So, perfect before the Lord means doing what He tells us. A man lost his big iron axe. He had borrowed it so he can cut some trees and make some money and pay off his debt. Well, the axe fell. It's gone. He went to the prophet. Prophet said, get a stick and throw it in the water. And the iron swam against the laws of physical science. It swam. Joshua looked at the walls of Jericho. The children of Israel looked at the walls of Jericho. They could batter it all they want, but the spears and the heads will crack. There was nothing they could do. It was a towering wall of Jericho, so powerful and so strong. But an angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua. And Joshua said, who are you? Are you for us or for our enemies? The angel said, I am not for you. I am not for your enemies. I stand as a captain in the Lord's host. If you do what the Lord tells you, then I will fight for you. But I am not going to stand with any man. I am not going to stand with anyone. I will stand only with the Lord God Almighty who had sent me. And he gave Joshua the battle plan. And he said, take your shoes off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Joshua got the battle plan from the angel of the Lord, implemented it. The walls of Jericho fell flat. When we do what the Lord tells us and rely on Him and trust Him, God calls us perfect people. That is what perfection is. Perfection is doing what the Lord tells us and not chickening out like those spies that said, oh my God, those people are so tall, the cloud goes through their head. But when we trust God, that's why the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So they that wait upon the Lord, those that are in the presence of the Lord, will see the big ocean about 20 feet tall coming towards them. And they will raise their hand and say, stop. And it will stop. All creation will obey us if we do what the Lord tells us. God said, go, Joshua, go wipe out this entire land of Canaan. Joshua said, Lord, that entire land of Canaan has come against us to fight. I don't know where that army starts. I don't know where it ends. They've surrounded us. God said, that's fine. Go ahead and fight. I will give them into your hands. Every one of them will fall down because the battle is not yours, but the Lord. And then it became dark. Joshua didn't have a clue what to do in the darkness. They didn't know the terrain. He said, Lord, I don't know the terrain. So far we've been winning, but now it's dark. And we are in the woods. We'll all get killed and wiped out by this enemy. And God said, well, no. Raise your hands toward the sun and the moon and stop it. And Joshua said, excuse me? You heard what I said, right? Raise your hands to the sun and the moon and say, stop it. Stay right there. And Joshua said, yes, Lord. That I didn't make it up. The Bible says, then Joshua prayed unto the Lord. And what the Lord told him is not written there. But what Joshua did is written. He prayed to the Lord and then commanded the sun and the moon to stop. And then the sun and the moon stopped until he fought the battle in broad daylight and overcame his enemies. Our duty is to do the Lord's will. Then the Lord will manifest his power all over the world. There were 12 people in the boat. What were the other 11 people doing? They were watching the weather channel to see how bad the storm is. How worse is it going to be? How terrible is it going to be? When are we going to die? How much time do we have? Can I call my wife and kids and say goodbye? But there was a 12th person. His name was Peter. He put his hand to his eyes and he squinted and said, I wish I had binoculars, but that's Jesus. He said, Jesus, if that's you, I want to walk on the water just like you. I care less about the storm. Why didn't you say come? And Jesus said, come. And he jumped out of the boat. He almost tripped on the heel of the boat. And he jumped out of the boat. And his feet landed on solid rock. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Jesus said, come. And he did. That's what Apostle Paul, who was Saul, told the Lord. What do you want me to do? And that's what we need to do. Yeah, Brother Jose and Brother Max and all of us are seeing all the powers of darkness, what they're doing in schools, what they're doing in media. You know, what the liberal media doesn't understand, what the Democrats and all the powers of darkness and all the religions and everyone that think that they can wipe us out, what they don't understand is that three people with God is majority. Majority is not in numbers. Majority is determined by who God stands with. Hallelujah. That's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't follow the majority. They were the minority. They said, nope. We won't worship you. And King Nebuchadnezzar and the entire world watched. It'll be so terrible when CNN preaches that Jesus is dead. And then Jesus shows up on live TV and said, hi guys, did you just talk about me? So that's what happened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the flaming fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar looks at the flaming fire and says, wait a minute, we threw three people into the fire, and there's a fourth person, and he is the Son of God. And all the king's officers and men looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They sniffed them. Not even the smell of smoke was on them. And the entire world that day, in 1 hour, the entire world was converted to Christianity, because the king said, if anyone does not worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll wipe his house, we'll bulldoze his house, and kill his family. Everybody needs to worship. And what did they do with that big golden statue? They melted it probably, and probably made something useful out of it, instead of that useless golden statue. So now we have the European Union, the revived Roman Empire, that's the fallen Roman Empire, and the one world order, and the two world order, and the three world order, and all these people, like the guy that built the Tower of Babel, trying to make a name for themselves. God is going to create confusion in you. All these people that want to establish the one world order, you're going to have a million world order, and you're going to fight with each other. Because the spirit of confusion and the spirit of Babel is going to come upon those who want to stop the advancement of Christianity. Your sons and daughters will start speaking in tongues, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you get too close to the Church of the Living God, you might become a full-time minister just like Apostle Paul. That's the power in the blood of Jesus. It converts and saves those who come against him. It converts those who try to crucify him. It converts and saves those who pierce him. Even the centurion that crucified Jesus Christ said, truly, this is the Son of Almighty God. They all beat their breasts that day and said, oh my, we have crucified the Son of Almighty God. So when God tells us something, we have to, why are we still alive on this earth? So many people have been taken away. So many saints have, why are we alive? Because God wants us to do what he tells us to do. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth. Samuel, God called him the third time. And he said, speak for thy servant heareth. God just wants people that will do what he tells them without asking questions. He told Moses, raise the shepherd's staff and the Red Sea will split. And Moses said, what if Moses didn't tell God, well, it's never happened before. What if it doesn't? He didn't say that. He just raised his staff. But Moses made a mistake too. God said, speak to the rock. And he smote the rock because he was mad with the people. That's a topic for another message. But we have to do what the Lord tells us to do. And when we do it, God will do everything. Mark 16:16 talks about the power of God, signs and wonders and miracles. That is all God's department. We do what he tells us to do. So in Psalm 33:9, the Bible says, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. Everybody's thinking, this is going to happen, that is going to happen, I'm going to take it with my power, I'm going to do it with my power. You don't have 1 cent of power over the outcome of anything. What if you don't even live to see it? Psalm 33:9, for he spake, who spake? Not Islam, not communists, not Putin or Pelosi or anyone else. God Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So if God speaks and says, this person is going to be the president in November when the elections take place. That person is going to be the president. If God decides that Trump is going to be the president, and only President Trump voted for himself and nobody else, he will still become the president. If God decides something, even if all the voting machines are rigged and God decides that Trump is going to be the president, then that will happen. What is God's plan? What is God's will? That is what will happen. The proud will be thrown out, the wicked will be cast out, and only God's will prevail. Ezekiel 37:10, our duty is to do what God tells us to do. So, why do we call these people prophets in the Old Testament? Major prophets, minor prophets? They call Jonah a minor prophet and Habakkuk a minor prophet because they had fewer chapters in the Old Testament, and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, major prophets. But there is one thing that all these prophets did that was very similar. What God told them, they obeyed. Of course, Jonah didn't like to go to Nineveh, but God brought him there anyway. And God made him do what his will was. Jonah surrendered. Because it was better to preach to Nineveh than live in the belly of a whale for the rest of his life. So Ezekiel 37:10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. So God asked Ezekiel, O son of man, can these dead bones live? And he says, Lord, you know if they can live. You know the answer. And God said, command the dead bones. And Ezekiel 37:10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. There are two people here. One is prophet Ezekiel. One is God Almighty. God is saying, Ezekiel, command these bones that they all come together and the flesh will come on them and they will start breathing and stand as an exceeding great army. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. So our duty now is, oh Lord, they sued me. They filed a lawsuit against me. They did this, they did that. They want to take away our guns. They want to wipe out Christianity. They want to stop churches. Tell them to keep dreaming. Our duty is to prophesy as he commands us. Of course, we are not going to call fire down on them like Elijah did and consume them, because Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But if they get too close and want to wipe us out, and God wants us to stay here, then they are messing around with the millions of volts of electricity. We are here, we will be here. You're not going to get us out. And we will still be preaching. And this will be on Facebook. It will be on Instagram. It will be on anything. We are not going to stop. You can threaten us. We've already received lots of death threats about getting our heads chopped off. Well, keep chopping. If you chop our head, God will create a new head. We ain't dying. We ain't going anywhere. We will be here. And we will keep preaching with a 100 megawatt microphone right into your ears, because we are the army of God. We cannot be wiped out. We will preach until the Lord tells us to stop. There is a time coming when the whole world is going to be in darkness. Jesus said that night cometh when no man can work, and the bride is going to be sleeping, resting with the oil, waiting for the coming of Christ. That time no ministry can be done. That kind of night is coming. But that time, Isaiah 60, when gross darkness covers the earth, God will do the ministry and the glory of God will be revealed all over the earth. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. when God starts manifesting his power, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBC, XYZ, all of them are going to come to take pictures to see, wow, this is amazing. How did it happen? Well, with God, all things are possible. John 2, 7 to 9. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Well, Jesus, we just told you they don't have any wine. I think you misunderstand. I didn't say they don't have water. I said they don't have any wine. Jesus said, fill it up with water. Mary's mother told them, you know, just don't argue with him. Some of the things that he says will not sound like the stuff you hear at MIT or Harvard or Stanford or, you know, all those PhDs and Nobel laureates, which, of course, they got their wisdom from God too. But it will look a little slightly different. And it may sound like, really? Are you kidding? Well, don't say that to him. Just do what he tells you. And there were 10. There were quite a few water pots. They were about half full. And Jesus said, that's the problem. You guys need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't like this half full Christian life. Either be hot or be cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. All this half-hearted Christianity in the USA, nope. I'm going to send persecution and make you guys on fire for the Lord. No wonder the Democrats are after you guys, because you're so cold, lukewarm. And so he said, fill the water pots with water. That's why the wine ran out. And they filled it up. And he said, okay, now after you fill the water pots with water, now that you're full of the Holy Spirit, start doing the ministry. Don't go around with the half-filled soul trying to do the Lord's work. You'll be squished by the devil. The devil will laugh at you. A lot of ministers with Bibles going without the power of the Holy Ghost, Satan laughs at them. And they say, yes, Jesus told me like a parrot, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. That's why I'm going. Well, wait a minute. You didn't read the next chapter. Jesus said, tarry ye at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Why do you read Matthew 28 and forget to read Acts chapter 1? Receive the power. Tarry in the church of the living God. Receive the power. And then Peter rises up and preaches the word of God. And 3,000 saved. Again, 5,000 saved. The lame man healed. So if we do what the Lord tells us, then there will be a great revival. But we need to do what the Lord tells us. A man of God got married and his wife told him, I think God is calling me to Africa. He said, let me tell you one thing. I am the head of this house. If God is going to tell you something, he will speak through me because he respects authority. I will lead and you follow me. And she listened, and God blessed them. That's how the Lord works. God doesn't work in chaos. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. Do your ministry with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And they drew it, and the water turned into wine. A lot of people are doing ministry, and some things that need to happen don't happen. Because God didn't send them, and they are not prepared. So this little boy is dead, and the prophet, he sends his servant Gehazi. He says, go take the little stick, the staff, and lay it upon the boy's head, and he will come to life. And he did, but he didn't come to life. So he went back to the prophet and said, well, I did what you told me, but didn't come to life. Because the lust of this world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life was in Gehazi's heart. He wanted to see how we can serve God and become rich. Like all these false, most of these false prophets on TV that preach about this hyper grace. they think that they can live a life of disgrace. But grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, not so we can live a life in sin, but to live a life overcoming sin. Because the Bible says in the book of John, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. The seed of God, the Spirit of God abideth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. A person that is born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, cannot willfully commit sin. Sin is of the devil, as the book of John says. Grace has been given to us to stop sinning, not to continue in sin. I don't care what Hollywood says about it. I don't care about their opinion either. The only opinion we accept in the Church of the Living God is the opinion of the Word of God. And we don't care how many degrees you have or which university you went to. We learned at the feet of Jesus Christ. And the message that we get comes straight from the throne of God. And His Word alone, we will listen. And if you don't listen, you will hear directly from Him. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, he said, why did you keep this until now? And Luke 9, 14 to 17, 5,000 people. Jesus said, make them sit down. Well, Lord, where is the food truck coming from? Philip said, well, I counted and I did some math and I don't think it's going to work, boss. He said, I told you, make them sit down. And he said, okay, fine. He made them all sit down. And God took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And fed the 5,000, and they gathered 12 baskets. Acts 16:10. If we do what the Lord tells us, will it always be successful? Sometimes it will be a failure, but the end will be successful. See what happened in Acts 16:10, 12, 25, 26, 33. The apostles wanted to go to Asia, to so many places. Paul and Silas and Barnabas. But the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 not there, not there. How about this, Lord? No, no, not there. How about Asia, Bithynia? No, no, don't go there. And then they said, well, wait a minute. God closed all the doors. There's no place on planet Earth. He said no to everything. And then as they were praying, God gave them a vision saying, go to the place called Philippi, which is the chief city of Macedonia. So they went there and preached. They got beaten up and got thrown in jail. Well, you know, Paul and Silas could have said, well, wait a minute. You think we imagined something, really saw that vision? No, they just started praising God. And there was an earthquake. The jailer was saved. And now we have the letter of Paul the apostle to the Philippians, because Paul and Silas did what God told us to do. I don't care what happens in the future. I don't care who wins the election. God's chosen person will win the election. Yes, I've heard some prophecies on YouTube that Trump is going to have 2 terms and the Democrats are going to be shocked. Well, God, whatever it is, we don't know what it is. If that message is from God, it will happen. Whatever is God's plan will happen. But the one world order or the million world order or the Democrats or whoever it is has no authority over the Church of the Living God. For Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock that came out of the mountain will crush the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, if anyone falls on this stone, he shall be broken. But if it falls on anyone, it will grind him to powder. God is not using his ultimate authority and power because people will not be able to handle it. The sun is so powerful. What if God suddenly appears to everybody that hates him with his full power? They would be consumed into elements and electrons and neutrons, and they will just cease to exist. So God is patient so that nobody perishes, but everybody repents. But I can tell you that God is getting a little concerned because more people are going to hell now in 2020 than never before. Because the liberal media has indoctrinated the schools, indoctrinated the kids, indoctrinated themselves. And there's calamities and destruction everywhere. And unless they repent, Sodom and Gomorrah, the men of Nineveh, the men that lived in the days of Noah, all of them will rise up in the day of judgment and accuse the Democrats and the liberal media and Hollywood and everybody, saying, if in our days we had this word that was being preached today, which you heard with your ears, then we would have been saved. And they will pronounce judgment on the Democrats and the liberals and all those acronyms that we cannot pronounce. The people, those that kill millions of babies, and those who don't want to live the proper lifestyle in the Garden of Eden. Like when man of God said, Adam was not married to Steve. Adam was married to Eve. And if you think talking about that is against the law, well, read the Bible. God is the judge. God is the one who has authority over Mr. John Roberts, Honorable John Roberts of the Supreme Court. Honorable John Roberts of the Supreme Court will kneel down before Jesus Christ and proclaim that he is God. God Almighty has full authority, and he will judge. Everyone will stand before him. Even the Pope will stand before him and kneel down and proclaim that he is God. If God said homosexuality is a sin and America does not listen, that portion of America that does not listen will be consumed with fire. Otherwise, God will have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and say, I'm sorry, guys, I shouldn't have burnt you up. God is a righteous God. He doesn't care if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court disobeys the law of God or the homeless guy disobeys the law of God. There is one law. There is no preferential law for the rich and the poor. Many, many tekel ufer sin. If you don't do according to the word of the Lord, your house will be swept out. Even Eli, the high priest, it's like being the Supreme Court judge. Eli was the high priest. God appeared to him through Samuel and said, you did not do the word of the Lord. Therefore, you will perish, and all your children's generation will be leprous, and they will be begging for bread. Gehazi, he didn't do the word of the Lord. He went after the lust of riches. And the prophet Elisha told him, because your heart went after the riches of this world, is this a time to marry and get maidservants and get riches? Because you did not do the word of the Lord, the leprosy of Naaman will come upon you. What is the leprosy of Naaman? God told Naaman, go wash in Jericho. He said, well, how about the other clean rivers? They are blue. If you go to the Caribbean, the ocean is blue. Why do I have to wash myself in Galveston? It's brown. And then the servant said, just do what God tells you to do. The seventh time, when he washed, he was clean. He was pure as the skin of a baby. If we just do what the Lord says, that's all is enough. We don't care if a million devils or a trillion devils come against us. They will all be wiped out. We don't care about how many demons, how many rats, how many Hollywoods come against us. CNN, NBC, CBC, XYZ, all of them. Bring it on, brother. In the name of Jesus, all of you will fall backwards. And many of you that are chosen will be saved. Many of you who tried to burn the Bible will be worshiping God in the church of the living God, washed by the blood, baptized, speaking in tongues. There has been no worse man in the history of the world than a person called Saul. He was the worst man that ever lived on this planet who wanted to wipe out Christianity. Take the Bible. Most of the Bible, the New Testament, was written by Apostle Paul. May it be a lesson to everybody that tries to wipe out Christianity, that they may understand. Try it. You will end up preaching it. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.